Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Very special edition of the Malloy Show, Occupation Nation continues. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and occupier of your public airwaves tonight here on the Mike Malloy Show, as Mike is off and leading the occupation out there in Washington, D.C. Very quickly, our chat rooms are open and lively. Come on by and occupy them yourself at bradblog.com. A lot of folks in there, very lively, doing my best to keep up as well as I can. You can also Twitter us at The Brad Blog. We would love to hear from you. And next hour, it's all occupation all the time. We'd love to hear from folks, leaving the third hour open all week this week for occupiers around the nation, around the globe. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear from you guys. And occasionally, we'll let a wingnut in to tell us how he's been conned. So that'll be 877-520-1150 will be our number in that third hour, 877-520-1150. If you want to spread it around the encampments, do so now. And also very shortly, we're going to be joined by Nancy Toby, author of Hands-On Elections, an informational handbook for running real elections using real paper ballots counted by real people, if you can imagine such a thing. Before we go to her, though, we're going to check in with the boss here, calling us from Washington, D.C. Mike Malloy joins us right here on the Mike Malloy Show from the occupation. Hey, brother, how you doing out there?
Doing great, Brad. Doing great.
Are you staying out of jail, first thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, not because we haven't tried, but we closed down the headquarters of the Chamber of Commerce in D.C. today, breached the police lines, and most of the people in the national headquarters of the Chamber of Commerce hostage for a while.
What?
Until, frankly, we got kind of bored.
Well, no,
the march continued.
Well, now you didn't really hold them hostage, Mike, right?
Well, they were afraid to come outside. I mean, call it what you want, but they were afraid to come out. You know, when you're surrounded by 3,000 people chanting, "What does democracy look like? This is what democracy looks like," and carrying signs. Well, see, let me set the stage for you. Chamber of Commerce office here, the national headquarters, they have a huge banner draped across the facade of their building. I mean, it's a huge banner,
mm-hmm.
and it says jobs, jobs, jobs. And you're supposed to go to this Chamber of Commerce website. Well, that's a provocation, man, because the Chamber of Commerce is not into creating jobs.
No.
What they're into is that capitalist horse hockey that the Chamber of Commerce is into. So we just decided to challenge them, or I didn't decide it. I went along with the crowd. But anyway, that was at the end of about 4 hours of some real, real intense stage work by everybody who was involved in either speaking or doing music. Like I said, my estimate was anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 people. And then we finally met up later on in the day with the Occupy Washington group.
You know, I think they were probably inside the Chamber of Commerce shredding the Brad Friedman file. They got a really big one. So 3,000 people. Now, how many of those folks, are they sticking around, or is this like one of the occupations, or is this...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, tonight, for the people who want to, I'm not at Freedom Plaza right now, but I'm heading back there in about 20 minutes. And if you want to camp in Freedom Plaza tonight, the October2011.org organization and the Occupy Washington organization, such as they are,
mm-hmm.
there are no permits to camp in this in Freedom Plaza. So the people who are going to camp there tonight, and there are at least 1,000, are running the risk of arrest Now, I'm not sure how the D.C. police are going to handle this, but I'm going to go back over there in about 20 minutes. I think our permit to be there ran out,
uh-huh.
matter of fact, about 11 minutes ago. So I'm going to go back over, and I'm not camping out tonight. I just I'm sorry. I've got to lay down in a bed. And I didn't bring my camping gear with me.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how it's going to wind up tonight, but the the energy, Brad, it was so high, and I think this is one of those occupations that's going to continue. And I would just strongly advise the power structure in this country to understand what is happening. And if they can't understand it, it puts them at a disadvantage. This is a movement that has truly started from the ground up. It truly is not all that organized. And its goals are very simple. Stop corporate ownership. That's all.
Now, is it, would you say it's, you mean, you say stop corporate ownership of our country, of our laws? I mean, is it anti-
corporate ownership of the Congress,
uh-huh.
corporate ownership of our medical delivery system, corporate ownership of just about everything in the country everything has been monetized down to the point where they just about have monetized our souls.
Yep.
And I think what these movements are demanding is that, first of all, the capitalist system is broken. Now, a lot of people may disagree with that, and all I would say is take a look around you. If this is not broken, what is? I'm not talking about entrepreneurship. I'm not talking about small businesses. I'm talking about predatory capitalism. And I think what most of the people involved in these movements understand is that it's a broken system that is trying to continue to operate. A lot of the street demonstrations will depict zombies,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's a good depiction of what capitalism is. It is the kind of the living dead that are still operating and still controlling things. So the goal here is to end this corporate destruction, to end it, and not reform it, not change it, not make it into a nice zombie, but to get rid of it and replace it with a different system.
And you're going to head back on over to Freedom Plaza to check out what's going on. All right, well, do me a favor. Actually, I don't know if you have the number. I'll give it out because we've been leaving the third hour open to hear from occupiers. We'd love to hear from folks in D.C., and I don't know if you have anything to write on, but let them know. 877.
I'm standing out on the street corner.
All right.
I don't have anything to write with, Brad.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get the word out. Hopefully people are listening out there via Sirius XM. Our number is 877-520-1150. We'd love to hear from folks. And, of course, Mike, give us a shout back if it looks like there's trouble, if it looks like the police are moving in or anything like that, so we can cover it here live. But I will say that last night, Mike, you know I like to let in the wingnut callers every now and again because I enjoy playing with them. And one of the guys said, well, if they were serious, they would be out there demonstrating in Washington, D.C. instead. I said, well, you jackass, they are. They're going out there. That's what Mike's doing. So,
this twin axis of evil, it has two main nests. One is, quote, Wall Street, unquote, which is the financial services industry, the nest of capitalism. And the second nest is here in Washington, D.C., a government that is a wholly owned subsidiary of capitalism, of predatory capitalism. So there are two nests of these monsters. And both of them have to be seriously attacked. And I'm not talking about with sticks and crowbars and weapons. I'm talking about attacking them with the kind of resistance that Mario Savio has talked about, that Gandhi has talked about, that Dr. King has talked about, and that is a strong civil disobedience coupled with a respectful passive resistance. And when you do that, you cannot be defeated.
And I'll tell you what, you guys are scaring the hell out of them. You really are. The folks on the right are just flipping out. So keep up the good work, brother. Stay safe out there. And
all right, I'll do it, Brad.
Give us a shout if there's any trouble. Otherwise, travel safe, and you will be back in the chair behind the mic on Monday, right?
I will indeed. Thanks a lot, Brad.
Thank you, brother. All right, Mike Malloy out there in Washington, D.C. OccupyWashingtonDC.org or October2011.org. They'd love to see you there, and we'd love to hear from you in the next hour. As I say, we're going to open up the lines to the occupiers, 877-520-1150. Taking a quick break here, coming back with Nancy Toby, hand-counting your elections. Damn it. Mike, Brad, in from Mike.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, standing up for your rights. As you stand up with us here in Occupation Nation, again, folks who know me, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, who know my work, know that I've been covering for years problems with electronic voting machines that are, prone to failure, that are easily manipulated, that even when they work right, you don't know if they did work right. Certainly on touchscreen voting machines that millions of Americans will use next year, and also on paper ballot optical scan systems, which have been shown time and again to be hackable. If you see HBO's Emmy-nominated Hacking Democracy, you can see a paper ballot election that is flipped via the optical scanner. You would never know it was flipped unless you bothered to count the actual paper ballots. So why don't we just count them in the first place? You know, have human beings do this in front of the entire community? Well, in some places they do. And this seems to me to be the only solution so far that I've been able to find for real self-governance, real overseeable elections by we the people. And my next guest has been working on exactly that now for many years up in New Hampshire, where some 40% of the towns count their elections, count their paper ballots in front of everybody on election night at the precinct, all parties watching, video cameras rolling, results posted before ballots move anywhere. That would be Nancy Toby from New Hampshire. She's co-founder and former chair of Democracy for New Hampshire. She's founder and chair of New Hampshire Fair Elections Committee. She's on a board member of Black Box Voting and an advisor to the Election Defense Alliance. And her book is Hands-On Elections, an information handbook for running real elections using real paper ballots counted by real people. Well, my Lord, imagine that. Hey, Nancy, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm so glad to have you, because last night we had on Roger Johnston from Argonne National Labs, who brought us the latest, just the latest new way to hack an electronic voting system. In this case, it was with $26 in parts would allow you to control an electronic voting system from up to half a mile away. No matter how many times I look at this issue, I see no other solution out there other than hand counting paper ballots in front of the people. That's what you've been calling for years. Why doesn't this happen anywhere else seemingly but New Hampshire?
Well, actually it does happen throughout the nation, Brad. You know, Wisconsin, oddly enough, is one of the states that still has, mm-hmm. when I collected the data back in 2008-ish, mm-hmm. Had a lot of hand count precincts still in existence, mm-hmm. and we have them in Texas. We have them scattered all around the nation. The problem is that they don't, even though there are a lot of polling places that still have publicly observable vote counts, they don't account for a large percentage of the ballots being counted, because mm-hmm. they tend to be smaller polling places, smaller precincts. And, so in New Hampshire, for example, we at last count we were somewhere around 40% of our polling places were still counting the ballots by hand, but that was only accounting for less than 15% of the ballots.
Now, is that because these are small towns? Is hand counting paper ballots in front of actual people something that just won't work in larger cities? It can only be done in small rural communities?
Well, that's a really good question, Brad. I'm glad you asked. Hand counting can be done everywhere in the nation, and in fact, within recent memory for most of us alive, it was done every place in the nation. And it does not need to be a rural environment in order to use this voting system. In fact, it doesn't matter how many people live in a given city.
Uh-huh.
What matters is how many ballots are passing through any given precinct or polling place.
Go ahead.
Well, the average number of registered voters in any given precinct throughout the nation is 1,000 or less. In fact, most places, New Hampshire does not limit the number of registered voters in any given polling place, but most states do. And so take New York, for example, does not allow more than 1,130 registered voters in a given precinct. And so I think basically what that tells you is that everywhere you could conduct hand count elections very easily.
So it's not the size of the city, it's the size of the precinct itself. All right, I got a lot more questions for you, and I'm also going to invite calls because I know there's a lot of skeptics out there. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. 877-520-1150. If you have questions for Nancy Tobey, author of Hands-On Elections, an information handbook for running real elections using real paper ballots counted by real people. We're going to take a quick break here, but I want to come back and find out, if you make the precincts smaller, it certainly has the benefit of reducing lines for voters, it would seem, in big elections. But how about the length of the ballots? Because that's what I hear from people. Oh, the ballots are too long out here. We couldn't possibly do it in California, Los Angeles, New York, etc. We're going to find out from Nancy Tobey right after this. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show.
They said vote in the election, it's what good people do. We've got this new machine, amazing but it's true. Just touch the screen a few times, it computes your vote for you. And you don't even need any paper. They swore it couldn't crash, the program couldn't fail. There wasn't any reason to keep a paper trail. But the counters all went crazy, we were sold a fairy tale. Now it's hopeless 'cause they left us without paper. You can scream, you can plead, you can argue all night. They may be wrong, you may be right. Use a voting machine to settle the fight. Just be sure it records your vote on paper.
No, you can't use a voting machine. Even if you vote on paper, you gotta count the ballots in front of the people so that we can all know that the vote has been counted accurately. Is that too much to ask? Apparently it is in most places around the country. Not in a few towns in New Hampshire and Wisconsin and some other places around the country, but not enough places. Everyone relies on secret vote counting by computer. And then they just trust that nothing could possibly go wrong. Nancy doesn't. Nancy Tobey, my guest, does not trust that. She's the author of Hands-On Elections, an information handbook for running real elections using real paper ballots counted by real people. A lot of people say it's impossible. It can't happen. It's going back to the past. Computers are our future. I don't think so. Our number is 877-520-1150. If you have a question for Nancy Tobey, a question about how hand counting paper ballots work, 877-520-1150. Okay, Nancy, before we went to the break,
We were talking about the fact that it's not really the size of a city that makes a difference. It's the size of the precinct. If you don't have that many voters at any one precinct, A, it's easier for them to vote. They don't get stuck in lines. But then you don't have that many ballots to count, because we're talking about counting at the actual precinct, not a centrally, you know. I think people have visions of Florida 2000 dancing in their heads, you know, with millions of ballots being counted by, you know, eight people in a room. We're talking about at each precinct. So if it's the size of the precinct that matters, what about the length of the ballot? That's what I hear all the time from people say, oh, we can't do that out here in all Los Angeles. Our ballots are just too many pages. How do you respond to that criticism, Nance?
Well, I will respond directly to that, Brad, but I want to also lay down sort of a fundamental principle before I respond specifically to that challenge. And, you know, every voting system is going to present challenges that need to be met in order for it to operate smoothly. We've certainly seen a fair share of challenges with the newest solution, the electronic voting systems. And so, you know, my answer is that you need to identify those challenges and address them in any kind of logical problem-solving mode and method. But the fundamental principle that I want to lay down here is that we need to be able to observe the votes being counted in order to know that the election is true and the results are valid and real. We actually need to see those votes being counted. So once you understand that this is the fundamental principle that and requirement that must be met in order to have true democratic elections, then you line up your challenges and knock them down one by one in order to reach that objective.
Well, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you there, Nancy. Why do we need to see our votes being counted? Why not? And I'm not being facetious here. You know, we use computers for all sorts of things. If we have a hand-marked paper ballot, why not just run it through a computer? What's the concern? We can check a few of them after the election. You know, spot check a few to make sure that the machines are counting them accurately. What's wrong with that?
Well, there are several things wrong with that. First of all, secret vote counting is illegal in the United States of America. Anyone who is a student of history knows the famous quote attributed to Stalin, and I did find it in his biography, which was that he doesn't care who comes to vote. What he cares about is who is counting the votes. And Stalin engineered a very wonderful system of secret vote counting, concealed vote counting, so that people would scurry off and, you know, come back and say, here are the results, folks. And in this respect, voting becomes, for us, the opiate of the masses.
Because
everybody trots off to the voting place, feels they're doing their civic duty, and we are at peace. You know, we don't have a revolution in the country. We don't have a bloodful revolution. But in fact, our votes don't matter. We're just being assuaged and sort of, you know.
But if they allow people to watch those ballots running through that optical scanner, that's public counting, isn't it? They're not counting it in secret. Everybody gets to watch. You can watch it go right through that optical scan system, no?
Well, you certainly can see a piece of paper being put into a computer, and you can see a polling tape spit out. What you cannot see is the votes being counted. So in a truly observable vote count using paper ballots, which is the system that we have for voting today, you would actually be sitting at a table where the ballots are in front of you, and any member of the public can see those ballots being counted. They can check and make sure that the correct vote that has been cast by the voter is being correctly tallied and tabulated. So that's the difference. You cannot see what's going on inside of a computer, and computers can be programmed to do whatever the programmer wants them to do.
And so, and they can. And so with touchscreens, you certainly can't see them. You don't even know if they recorded it your vote correctly, much less counted it correctly. With a paper ballot, at least you have a paper ballot. You know if it's hand-marked, that you know it reflects the voter's intent. But again, unless you count that paper ballot with your own eyeballs, it's secret vote counting inside of a computer. So it kind of begs the question, why don't we just count it in the first place? I think that's the point you're making here, correct?
Well, that is the point I'm making, and it's a very simple point. I mean, I want to tell you, you know, I had spoken to the man who was the House counsel for Bob Ney when they wrote the Help America Vote Act. And
Congressman Bob Ney, Republican from Ohio, yes.
Correct, convicted criminal.
Yes, he is now. Yes.
Yes, and the man who was the House counsel at the time, who actually drafted the Help America Vote Act for these people, for the four, doesn't matter who they were, but he had said to me, you know, what they're trying to do in America today with these electronic voting systems and with the legislation like the Help America Vote Act is they're trying to complexify our elections to the point where nobody knows what's going on. And what I'm trying to say is that elections do not need to be complexified. They need to be simplified. This is a fourth grade math process of sorting and counting the votes. That's all it is. You've got to tabulate them correctly. You've got to manage the process. You've got to manage the people doing the process. You've got to manage the counting, manage the reconciliation. It's a management and accounting process that all of us can do. But getting back to the reasons, other than what I think and I hope is obvious to everybody, the reason that you cannot accept election results if you haven't actually seen them being counted. It's like giving somebody the ballots and having them run away to a closed room and coming out and saying, here are your results. That's what we're doing. So common sense should tell all of us that this system is ridiculous. But in addition to that, it's illegal. It is not legal to have concealed vote counting in America. And this is implicit in the U.S. Constitution, which gives we the people sovereignty and self-governance and the right to observe the processes of government and governance. And it is explicitly stated in some of our state constitutions. In the New Hampshire state constitution, we are told the votes must be sorted and counted in open meeting. This is said in several constitutions throughout the nation.
Yeah, but see, the problem is they've redefined, you know, counting. They feel that if you put it through the paper ballot through a computer, that is the equivalent of counting as they see it. And I stand with you, Nancy. I think they're wrong. I think you could call that tabulation or something, but you know it is secret vote counting. So, and I got a bunch of folks on the phone who want to ask you some questions, and I got to get to a break. So, let me run through a couple of quick things. One, I veered you off the topic of the length of the ballot. Does that make a difference in places where they have really lengthy ballots? That's what I hear from critics all the time. So, how do you respond directly to that question, Nancy?
It absolutely makes a difference, and that is one of the ways that they have been complexifying our elections. In referendum states, you're going to have very lengthy ballots like you have in California. In New Hampshire, where some of the towns have moved away from a town meeting and put the town articles on the ballot, they have lengthy ballots. And those become that became a rationalization for using electronic voting. But again, if we go back to the fundamental principle that the vote count must be publicly observable in order to be valid and true and real, then you recognize that you have a problem. Mm-hmm. If you have complex ballots that are extremely long and difficult to use in a publicly observable count. So once you identify that as a problem, then you need to find an appropriate solution to allow you to count those referendum articles, to count the items on the ballot, but to do it in a way that meets the constitutional requirements for publicly observable elections.
So start with the principle of that these need to be observable counting, and then figure out how to solve it. Add more counting teams, whatever you have to do, but start with the notion that this is our democracy, our self-governance requires that we are able to oversee our own elections. Nancy Toby, hang on. I got to get to a quick break here. We're going to come back, take some calls at 877-520-1150. Speaking with Nancy Toby, author of Hands-On Elections, an information handbook for running real elections using real paper ballots counted by real people. Oh, man, would that be nice. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. And, oh, occupation calls next hour. Stay with us. For your eyes only, indeed, when it comes to paper ballots, your eyes will work much better than Diebold's eyes, as far as I'm concerned, as far as my guest Nancy Toby, author of Hands-On Elections, using real paper ballots counted by real people in real elections. Go figure. What a crazy idea. We've got a lot of calls, Nancy, Toby, that I want to get to here. People are lining up. Next hour, by the way, we're going to be back to the occupation. This is all of a same piece, by the way. This is your democracy. Stand up and fight for it. Nancy, you mind if we take some quick calls?
No, not at all.
All right, we're going to have to fly through a lot of them because we've only got a few minutes here to the top of the hour, but I want to get in as many folks as I can. 877-520-1150. Oh, Kevin in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Kevin, do you have a question or thought for Nancy Toby?
Yes, I do.
Bring
it. I've been involved in the election process here. I'm wondering, what would you say the first step would be for me to go to get that process started here in Colorado? And then dovetailing into that, I'm blind. So is your book out on audiobook by chance?
Great question, Kevin. Nancy, your thoughts?
Oh, I really wish I had it on audiobook, but I don't. But I'm glad you asked about what we can do, because we have a very simple solution. And it's called Protect the Count. That's the movement that we have going here in New Hampshire. And actually, it addresses some of the complexified ballots that we just talked about. And this is a movement where we are taking control at the local level. We recognize that Congress and the President and our Secretaries of State, the politicians, are not going to help us with this problem. They have too much of a vested interest in keeping it rigged, basically. And so we're taking it to the local level. And wherever you have home rule or local control, as we have in New Hampshire, where you can make decisions about the voting system at the local level, you can do what we're doing here, which is we are filing local ordinances, town ordinances, that are prohibiting concealed vote counting.
So pass a move. Nancy, I just want to get in as many because we're coming to the top of the hour. So push for passing a notion that you can't passing a law that you can't have concealed vote counting. And I would toss in the idea that I've been calling for, work with your election officials to start doing hand-counted paper ballot pilot programs. Try it out in one or two precincts at first. See how it works, how many people you need, how accurate it is, you know, in comparison to machines, and so on and so forth.
Nancy, is that book or is that Protect the Movement? Is there a website for that?
We have a Facebook page called Protect the Count New Hampshire, Protect the Count NH on Facebook.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for that call, Kevin. Appreciate it. Let me see if I can get to Flo in Florida. Very quickly, your question for Nancy Toby. Flo?
Hi, Brad. You know, I don't don't trust the voting here in Florida. We get up at 4 o'clock to go and vote, and we do all that. We have the paper trail, but then there sits that rotten machine. And I'm the only one that makes a comment about it. You know, I could stand there and count the votes. There aren't that many people in this precinct. I don't see what the problem is. And also, Florida is high in unemployment, high in foreclosures, yet we keep putting Republicans in.
Thanks for the thought, Flo. I don't think there was a question there, but there was a good point. Let me see if I get a question here as we come to the top of the hour with just a minute or so left. D in Ohio, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Do you have a question for Nancy Toby?
Yes, sir, I do. I'm on my lunch break, so I'll make this quick. We have an abundance of two things in this country. One, unemployment, and two, we have a lot of incarceration as well. Could we not, in fact, use the unemployed and the incarcerated to assist in the vote counting?
Great question. Thanks for that, Dee. Nancy, do we need to use the incarcerated, or do we have enough people who would show up to do this?
Well, I'm a big advocate of community-based elections, and when you have locally based elections and in your neighborhood, as we do here in New Hampshire, and it takes place in many places around the country, then you have community members volunteering to count the ballots, and then you have a real community spirit. We make a party out of the election, and I really advocate for community-based local elections.
And it is a party. You've got some videos up on your YouTube channel where you can see how this happens and the great spirit of the folks who turn out to oversee their own democracy. Your YouTube channel, Nancy, is do you have it there? Or where is it here?
Hands-on Elections.
There we go. YouTube.com/hands-on-elections. You can also get more information at Facebook, Protect the Count NH. And if you'd like a link to her book, Hands-on Elections, an informational handbook for running real elections using real paper ballots counted by real people, we have the link at bradblog.com. Do you have a simple link that you can point folks to, Nance?
Well, it is up on Amazon. You can find it on Election Defense Alliance. There's a link to it on the sidebar on the electiondefensealliance.org website.
Nancy Toby, a great patriot fighting for your democracy and mine, for all of us, right, left, it doesn't matter. We need to count the votes and know that they have been counted accurately. If you're on the line with a question for Nancy, hang on. I got to let her go. But if you want to hang on, I'll take your calls in the next hour, along with occupation calls. We'd love to hear from you from around the country. Nancy Toby, thank you very much for all your hard work. Keep it up. And I suspect we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Brad.
All righty. Good night. 877-520-1150. Give us a shout. The occupation continues.